Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Deborah Becker.
Sometimes you can take the whole of the world in, and sometimes you need a small piece. And I think that's really what a work of art is. It's a small piece that you can digest, which gives you a kind of idea of the richness that is in the whole.
That is Sister Carita Kent, speaking in 1967. She was a Roman Catholic nun and wildly talented 1960s pop artist. Now, weary commuters probably already know that Kent is also the artist who gave Boston the Rainbow LNG storage tank on I-93. It's a spirited splash of color to lift an otherwise dreary drive, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But that sense of spirit, of playful uplift, that is on full display right now at the Harvard Art Museums.
Mary Mother is the juiciest tomato of all. It's a print that got her into a lot of trouble.
Susan Dackerman is the curator of the show Carita Kent and the Language of Pop Art. We're standing in front of Kent's 1964 print, The Juiciest Tomato of All. The print is emblematic of Kent's work. Big red block letters forming the words tomato. And inside, Kent places the words, "If we are provided with a sign that declares Del Monte tomatoes are the juiciest, it is not desecration to add, Mary Mother is the juiciest tomato of them all." And if that subversive use of advertising copy reminds you of the likes of, say, Andy Warhol, Dackerman says you'd be right.
She began using the strategies of pop art that she saw being practiced by Warhol as a way to give language to a more relevant gospel or scripture for Catholicism in 1960s America.
I was very taken by this. The idea of using the language of Catholicism to boost a moral critique of 1960s art, and then using the techniques of that same genre to boost the relevance of Catholicism. Kent's work is a bright nexus fusing together the cool ad age knowingness of 60s pop art with the spiritual roots of Catholicism. After all, in a way, for both worlds, first, there was the word.
The Mass had been said in Latin for centuries, and it was decided that the Mass would then be said in the local vernacular language.
That would be due to the Second Vatican Council, or Vatican II, in 1962. This was the popularizing, modernizing religious milieu Kent found herself in the early 60s. She was in Los Angeles, living and teaching art at the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
That same year, 1962, Andy Warhol, who was then a relatively unknown New York artist, his soup can paintings were shown in a Los Angeles gallery for the first time, and Carita Kent saw that work. Years later, she said that seeing the Campbell soup cans actually changed the way she saw the world.
And she wasn't one of those artists who was coy about her intent either. I mean, I read that she'd said very clearly that she was absolutely trying to beat advertising and materialism at its own game, right?
She took those things that the Madison Avenue advertising executives did best. You know, they chose language that was the most potent language, and she essentially took it back from them, the language, but she wanted the potency that was there and gave it new meaning.
Kent fearlessly applied that new meaning to one of the central icons of the Catholic universe, the Virgin Mary. I mean, picture 1,500 years of Catholic-inspired art. Mary is so often depicted as the Holy Mother, face calm, almost blank, with baby Jesus at her breast. Or there's the Mary of the Crucifixion, weeping, bereft, at the feet of her slain son. Carita Kent would have none of that. Kent's Mary is pure joy. Her 1964 print declares, "Mary does laugh." Harvard's Susan Dackerman says it's an ebullient assertion inspired by the 1964 Mary's Day celebration at the Immaculate Heart.
She turned the celebration into a pop art festival, essentially. And one of the other nuns at the college gave a speech in which she was asked to address, would the Virgin Mary have appreciated what we're doing here today? And this other nun responded by saying, Mary does laugh. She sings and she runs and wears bright orange.
She would laugh at our pop art.
The moment was put on film in the 1964 Bayless Glasscock documentary, Mary's Day.
She would laugh compassionately, I think, at the consternation of some of us at this riot of sound and color, at our uncertainty about its suitability for a day of religious celebration. Our colors, however, are the colors of the marketplace, the colors of life-giving food.
Now, it's a happy moment. You can feel the levity. But that, of course, forces the question, how seriously did the self-serious 1960s art scene take Carita Kent? Again, Susan Dackerman.
Pop art has been regarded as critical, a critique of consumerism. It's hard to call her work critical. In fact, it's always been called celebratory and affirmative. And that's always been given lesser value than being critical.
And in Kent's case, she was also a woman who also happened to be a nun. But Dackerman adds,
it's not an anomaly. It's not that she's an eccentric nun making art, but that she's actually part of a much wider world. The work that she made in many ways is a manifestation of that.
Carita Kent left Los Angeles and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the late 60s. The convent's liberal leanings had irritated the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and Kent also later said that she believed biblical stories should open up ideas rather than defining and confining them. Carita Kent settled in Boston. And so we come to Dorchester's rainbow-colored 140-foot LNG storage tank on I-93, painted by Kent in 1971.
She called it a rainbow and made reference to a biblical passage about how the rainbow connects heaven and earth. And I think what happened when the tank was painted and the controversy about the tank that we all know emerged,
that controversy being many people thought they saw the outline of Ho Chi Minh in the gas tank. Recall, this is 1971. America is in the midst of the Vietnam War.
That controversy didn't allow us to talk about the gas tank as a pop art landmark or monument that she delivered to the city of Boston.
The tragedy of the Vietnam War looms darkly over Kent's work at this time, as does her departure from the church. A 1969 print called News of the Week features photographs of Viet Cong and wounded American soldiers tinted in red, alongside words from a Walt Whitman poem, "Agonies are one of my changes of garment." At the Harvard exhibition, Susan Dackerman takes us to another print, made the same year. It's called American Sampler.
I think that this is actually her most powerfully political print.
Viewed at a distance, American Sampler is a patriotic burst of red, white, and blue stripes printed across the page. Up close, though, the patriotism transforms to indignation. Within each stripe is a word. Assassination with sin and nation highlighted. American with I can highlighted. And in the bottom white stripe, the word why crying out in red.
I mean, it's part of the lexicon of the Catholic Church, of the moral universe created by the Catholic Church. By 1969, she's left the church, though. So her critique is interesting and directed in many ways.
So ultimately, what are we to make of Carita Kent and her work? Is she the joyful nun, unexpectedly celebrating the luminance of spirituality through pop art? Or is she the crestfallen Catholic, the outraged American, expressing her disgust at institutions, at war, and at violence, using again the language of pop? I'm not sure. But in the 1967 documentary We Have No Art, Carita Kent comes as close as anyone to saying she is both.
See, we know about the ability to think well, and we sometimes think that everything is bound up in that, that the people who think well are the bright people. But I'm wondering if we could say it equally about the people who feel well. I don't mean that you're healthy. You see, what about the person who can really feel pain, who can really feel ugliness, who can really feel dejection and all of the things which are very ugly? The things he's feeling may be very ugly, but the fact that he can feel them is a very beautiful thing. The ability to feel is very beautiful.
Carita Kent speaking there in 1967. Susan Dackerman walked us through an exhibition of Kent's work. It's called Carita Kent and the Language of Pop. It's on display at the Harvard Art Museums until January. We've got some more information and a link to images of Kent's prints at radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Imogene Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek. We had help today from Virginia Marshall, Caitlin O'Keefe, and Adam Asher.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.